This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.
Hello, it is 4 minutes past three. These headphones are falling off my head.
Good
and you're
start.
Listening to The Drama Show. Excellent start. All round, I think. It's all drama on The Drama Show here today.
So we like it. Yeah.
It is. You can hear with me, I've got Jack.
Hello.
President of Creative. You are president, aren't you?
Indeed.
I don't think I've ever introduced you with your full title.
No. Oh, yeah. President-elect of university.
Oh, topical.
Yes. Creative Writing Society. I'm here on my own.
I purged the rest of the society and claimed full power.
Yep.
So, yeah, so everyone else is gone.
Well, at the moment, it's just me from drama in the studio as well. So we've obviously staged a military coup.
Of course.
And,
that's not the biggest political thing to happen this week. But as I said in the session on Wednesday... We're not mentioning the thing. The thing is not being mentioned.
We do not talk about the new shape of Toblerone on The Drama Show. It's too traumatic to cope with.
Mm.
So, what's our next piece, Jack?
I've got a piece. I wrote it a few days ago in the wake of the thing that happened, the political thing that happened in America. And I thought, when it comes to parallel universes, what if we're the weird, crazy parallel universe that everyone wants to visit? So this is a little story based on that. Harold, come see this. Harold sighed a long and well-practiced sigh, one that is granted only to those who have been married for a decade or more, and rose slowly from his seat. Despite just having sat down, fresh coffee in hand, he, like the good husband he was, would sacrifice one moment of satisfaction in his day to nod politely when Barbara said something benign like, "Ooh, doesn't that cat look funny?" or "Ooh, the Stevens head really needs a good going over, don't you think?" and return, a few seconds older, with his coffee a little more tepid, to his seat. Stepping beyond the threshold of the living room, he put his politely busy but still barely smiling face reserved for busybodies at the door and framed himself in the window beside his wife. "What is it this time, Bob? Have the bin men left the wheelie at an angle again?" "Oh, shush, Harold. That was one time. And it really was dreadful. Terry couldn't get his mobility by. Anyway, they're not bin men, they're bin people. Women are just as able to clean the bins as men are." Harold kept his lips tightly sealed. He had learned that challenging his wife when it came to these matters was futile, and usually resulted in a passive-aggressive response translated through slightly overdone steak and shower settings set irritatingly cold. He could have asked her whether she had ever seen a female bin person in her life. But that was a road leading nowhere, and the sooner he got to the bottom of whatever she was babbling about, he could get back to his favourite pastime, doing very little. "But anyway," Barbara continued, snapping Harold back to his disappointing reality, "check those two out. See them there, across the road? They're not from round here, are they?" Harold stopped picking at the dirt under his thumbnail and glanced up, expecting to shrug and return to his coffee. But for once, it looked like Barb had a point. Beyond the shrubbery at the end of the drive stood a curious pair of people, dressed in clothes that could only be described as modern, and each clutching one of those damn smart telephone things. They certainly didn't look like they believed in the quiet Gloucestershire village of London Heath. "I mean, just look at those hats," she continued. "Is that what passes for acceptable headwear nowadays? I bet they're a pair of those Asbo types or something. Go and have a word with them, Harold. Look, they're fiddling with my antique floral letterbox." "Hmm," thought Harold, coffee and chair now dropping on his list of priorities. "They are dangerously close to my lavender bush. Maybe he would go and say something to these youths. It would give him something to liven up the day. Maybe even he could talk to Terry about it at golden hour. That would shut him up about his damn courgettes for a few minutes at least. Oh, go say something to them, Harold. I mean, the neighbours aren't used to seeing people under 50, unless they're on the telly." Straight back and fist clenched, although not too hard after that accident with the shears, Harold strode to the door, grasped his cap, and rolled over what he was saying in his mind. Something confrontational, but nothing that would make him come across as a brute. But also friendly, even spark some camaraderie, perhaps. Maybe they'd like to hear about the village. Maybe reading that dry local history book was worth it after all. Maybe, without fully realising it, Harold had strode to the front of the drive and was now staring blankly at the pair, blinking, and coming across as rather queer. "Christ, it's worse than I thought," mumbled one of the invaders. "Yeah," said the other letterbox fiddler. "It appears that the inhabitants have lost all ability to communicate. Extraordinary." Finally spurring himself into action, Harold stated crisply, "Welcome, gentlemen. Can I help you? You're not here to sell me anything, are you? Unless it's free, I'm not buying. Ha ha ha." "Damn it, Harold," he thought angrily to himself. "That was stupid. Why would you say that?" He was saved from his thoughts by the pair in front of him, glancing first at each other, then back at Harold. "Well, there's certainly been some cultural deterioration, on top of the obvious structural damage," said the one with the blue shiny coat. "Oh, yes, I had no idea it would be this bad. Thank God we're not this stupid, A.T. "What the hell are they on about?" Harold thought, staring dumbfounded at these strange folk. "And what are those things in their hands?" Howard had seen smartphones on the telly, but these look different somehow. Oi, V, he's looking at the cromulators. What's a protocol? The one in the green whispered. T, do you think protocol matters in a parallel universe like this? Cease and desist! Howard stuttered suddenly, having no idea where the words had come from. Probably too many repeats of the bill. Now, he continued, you two tell me what business you have in Lomden Heath, or be on your way. We're a quiet village and we'd like to keep it that way. Camaraderie was out, he thought to himself, as he eyed the two strangers. The pair looked at each other again. Did you say Lomden, as in L-O-M, said the blue one. Oh, I see, replied the green one. I misspelled the location in the nether. That explains a lot. Turning to Harold, who was progressively turning a deep shade of beetroot as a result of the pair's insolence, he asked, is London still a thing, then? Is London still a thing? What sort of question's that? Harold thought, barely controlling his temper. Does a Pope wear a funny hat? He replied, exasperated. Is that some sort of code? The one in the blue asked. It's a figure of speech, you fool, Harold snapped, losing his temper, something he found frightfully rude in most circumstances. In other words, obviously, London still exists. Oh, wow, not bad at all. I was expecting anarchy by now, said the green one, tapping furiously at his phone thing. Oh, wow, the monarchy's still a thing here as well. A nuclear Armageddon hasn't begun. Anyway, turns out he didn't have to bring the hazmat suits. Howard had had enough. He was getting to the bottom of this episode. He was calling the community watch. I'll ask you once and only once, he said, visibly trying to keep calm. Who are you and what the jolly well hell do you want? If you don't tell me, I'm afraid you'll have to leave. The pair traded glances once again. All right, said the one in blue. We'll buy. This place won't be around for much longer anyway. Quickly brushing over that statement, one Harold felt needed a little elaboration, the shiny-shoed cretin continued. We're on holiday. We've come from Dimension 745, and we really wanted a zinger this summer. You see, we went for an agency who specialised in crazy alternate realities, and we wanted something really memorable. Our world is pretty idyllic, but we wanted a taste of something really off the rails. Harold tried to process this. He failed, but figured that these gentlemen had participated in some substance or another. A strange little man continued. You remember that Donald Trump guy who said he'd run for president that one time? We asked whether, in some strange backward universe, he'd actually done it. And it looks like we're in luck. The Donald is president of the United States, is he not? Harold, having given up comprehending the strange little man, simply allowed gravity to pull his head in a nodding motion. Amazing. What made them do it? Oh, well, not every parallel universe can have David Attenborough as president of the world, can they? Look at this, V. Britain left the EU, too. This parallel is crazier than I thought. Harold turned pale. It must just be that marijuana, what do you call it, the kids have been taking nowadays. That they were some sort of mad religion. Either way, he had had quite enough. Right, he shouted over the exciting chattering of the two strange fellows. I think it's time you're on your way. I can call the police, you know. We don't take kindly to drugs around here. Unless, of course, they treat angina. Now, on your way. The pair simply shrugged, and before Harold could lift his walking stick to bat them away, the pair linked arms whilst one tapped some nonsense into the phone thing. Well, it was nice to chat to you, my friend. It's a funny world you live in. We'll be back once a real chaos has started. Ta-ra! And with a flash, they were gone. Harold blinked. Stepping slowly back to the house, he tried to piece together what this all meant. Barbara, he shouted, his nerves spilling from his quivering lips. You saw that, right? Saw what, dear? She replied in her la-di-da voice. My programme started. You know me, I can't miss Attenborough for anything. Harold opened his mouth, as if about to explain what happened, but nothing came out. Parallel universes? President Attenborough? All these unexplainable things? He sighed as he realised bringing it up would lead as far as a conversation about bin people. Maybe Terry would have something to make of this, he thought, as he sunk back into his seat and sipped his now tepid coffee.
So all the intelligence we've collected over the past 6 months points to the explosives being stored in this shed and nowhere else. We are 100% certain on this. If I hadn't lost my left bollock betting on the existence of Saddam's WMDs in 2003, I'd wager that. As it is, I'll have to bet my middle one.
Okay, men. We strike in T-minus 1 minute.
Now remember, the fellows we're up against are incredibly smart, and we'll be expecting an attack, so watch out for any subtle subterfuge. Good luck, men, and Godspeed.
3, 2, 1, go!
Get down!
Surrender!
Nobody move!
Oh, hello there. I wasn't expecting anyone for tea.
What? What's going on? Who are you? Where are the explosives?
Me? Oh, you can call me Deirdre if you like. And you are?
What? I'm Captain Browning of the 127th Fusiliers. I say again, woman, where are the explosives?
Well, it's very nice to meet you, Captain. I'm afraid I don't know anything about any explosives. Though I've been told my ginger cake packs a bit of a kick.
We are acting on level 1 grade intelligence. Our resources have placed many crates of dangerous explosives at this very location.
Well, I'm ever so sorry to disappoint you, boys. There are no explosives in here. Would you like a cup of tea instead? You look like you've been in the wars.
I'm sorry, we couldn't possibly intrude.
Go on, have a slice of lemon drizzle. It's homemade.
Actually, that's not bad. Did you say something about tea?
And so that's how my Arthur came to meet the Duke of Edinburgh. He paid for all the damage and only got 2 weeks of community service in the end. More tea, dears?
Oh, yes, please.
Sir?
I have to say, you've been so wonderfully accommodating, Deirdre.
Sir?
What is it, Corporal? Can't you see I'm talking to Deirdre?
What about the explosives, sir?
Oh, what about the explosives? It's obvious they're not here. The intelligence must have been wrong. Wouldn't be the first time they've made a mistake. Just relax, boy.
But, sir, don't you think this might be subtle subterfuge that guy in the previous scene warned us about?
Of course not. Look at Deirdre. She wouldn't hurt a fly.
She won't let us leave, sir. She's locked the doors.
She's very clearly a very health and safety-minded old lady. Can't be too careful, I always say.
I'm not convinced she's really an old lady, sir.
Don't be so ridiculous, Jenkins. Why in God's name would you say that?
I had my suspicions when she started demonstrating the ninja moves she knew.
Which she learnt at finishing school.
And how to assemble an AK-47 machine gun.
A well-rounded education.
She's getting cakes from a box labelled TNT, sir.
Tasty? Never terrible. It's a range of baking ware. You're getting all worked up over nothing, Jenkins. Have another piece of shortbread.
That's the other thing, sir. I think the cakes have been drugged. Half the men are asleep.
Poppycock. Sit up straight, Jenkins. You really can't get the staff these days. This really is delicious, Deirdre. You'll have to tell me your secret ingredient. Oh, crap.
You're back with the drama show. We're debating about tangents or tandems.
I like tandems.
I feel like this is a tangent.
This is a definite tangent. And in a minute, a bike is going to come through and that will be a tandem. Yes, I'm Ella. I'm joined by Jamie.
Hello.
Charlotte.
Hello.
And the newly named Regular Ben.
Hello.
And Sporadic Ben.
Hi.
Because obviously Main Ben and Other Ben weren't good enough for people.
I felt slightly, you know, sad with Other Ben. But anyway.
All the time or just sporadically?
Oh.
See, the name's just... Oh, I love it.
I mean, it's not even true. Main Ben isn't even from Maine.
Well, that was... Such
the
a
lack
good
of
joke.
A French accent a, gave it away.
Such a good...
It's Maine in America.
Oh.
There may be more than one Maine, but I mean the main.
Main.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Marne.
Stop talking, guys. Yeah. And on that note, we're going to play a regular drama show game, So Many Lives. In this game... Jamie and Regular Ben have prepared short scripts about a topic that is all completely false, apart from five truths hidden within it. It is the job of everybody else here to identify those truths. If they buzz in and identify a correct truth, they get a point. If they identify a truth and it's actually a lie, they lose a point. And the one with the most points at the end wins, as games usually work. We are not allowing points for buzzing in on obvious truths. So if someone suggests, like last week, I'm talking about Batman today, that is does not count towards a point because it is quite clearly pertinent to the thing. Anyway, that was a really bad explanation. Your mics are now going back up.
Oh, I've got my headphone. Jamie Drew, pertinent to the thing.
I was so proud of the use of using the word pertinent that I forgot all other words and realised I have no way of following this up that's going to sound as good as the word pertinent. So I was left with thing.
I have a lecture on the city of Nottingham, so very topical. Mm-hmm. Right. The city of Nottingham was found by an international poll to be the eighth most famous city in the United Kingdom. It's famous for its resident archer, Friar Tuck, and its twin football teams, Nottingham United and Nottingham Wednesday. And the nightclub Ocean, the only ocean in the world to be entirely full of VK and Jaeger bombs. In fact, there was a petition for the phrase ocean devotion, meaning one who attends ocean on a weekly basis, to be added to the Oxford English Dictionary, but it was not deemed to be in wide enough usage. The oldest pub in Nottingham, Ye Olde Trip to Jerusalem, dates back to 600 AD.
There's a Ye Olde Trip to Jerusalem. Is it the oldest pub in Nottingham?
Yeah, but the fact was dates back to 600 AD, which it does not.
It's okay. Got the word old in the title. It's quite old.
Yeah, yeah. But so does Old what McDonald's.
It's short for Ye Oldest Trip. in not anyway.
We all know that Old MacDonald originated in the 3rd century, so...
Is that true?
No. Oh.
But lose another game. Point, Jamie. Lose a point. The bar is carved to resemble a 7th century internet cafe, and an urban myth dictates that anybody who cleans the bar will die. This is proving to be scarily accurate, as for hundreds of years, several people have cleaned the bar and subsequently died at some point in the future. Ella is enjoying that one.
I like that one.
Okay, good. Whilst known as a river, the River Trent is actually technically a canal. In the early 90s, a notorious bandit kidnapped and drowned more than 40 local residents' cats, and only stopped when the British punk band The Family Cat played Rock City in 1994. In the late 90s, the county council introduced classes to teach cats to swim, but not enough of people signed up to make up the costs. The word Trent comes from the Celtic word meaning terrible university.
I need an air horn. We don't have it on air.
Okay.
Oh, snap!
Nottingham Goose Fair. Nottingham Goose Fair dates back to the 13th century and started as the only event on the continent where geese went on dodgems.
Truth, not for the dodgems part, but for that the Goose Fair dates back to the 13th century.
He's got it. Even though Jamie was the one who said buzz.
I'm going to give you both a point for that because we haven't been using buzzers this
week. Okay. The name Goose Fair originated from a tradition where instead of a hook the duck ride, fairgoers would play hook the goose.
Hook a duck isn't really a ride, but carry on.
Okay, that is a falsehood like most of the rest of this. Robin Hood, Nottingham's most famous resident, was one of the first people recorded getting burgled in Lenton. He later became famous for shooting an apple off his son's head under fundamentally misunderstanding how you're supposed to get your 5 a day. The son was unharmed, but the apple never recovered. Many of the greatest people in the country were educated in Nottingham, including columnist Janet Street Porter, chef Nigella Lawson, McFly drummer and previous Strictly Come Dancing winner Harry Judd, and politician and future Strictly Come Dancing winner Ed Balls.
Oh, one of those has got to be true.
Are you going to take the risk?
Harry Judd.
Anyone else? Minus one for Jamie.
Well, I'm not too sure, I must admit. No, I'm going to give a pass on that.
Okay.
One.
Very brave, very brave.
They could all be false. Who knows?
They could all be false, but they're not. Many inventions the world knows and loves today originated in Nottingham. Things invented in Nottingham include skiing, the electric toothbrush, traffic lights, snake charming, the French horn, friendship bracelets, passive aggressive small talk, the VCR recorder, knots, and archery. That is the end of my lecture.
Oh.
Can I put a truth for at the very beginning when you said Nottingham in a pool was one of the... It's the...
No, you've missed
eighth.
Your opportunity to buzz in for
the
that.
The eighth... No, he can. He can. Let him. It's not right.
Let
it's not
me.
It's not right,
oh,
so
it's
let
not,
him.
Well, you did just say let me, so sorry,
are you
sorry,
really
Ben.
Slow on this?
I'm essentially slowpoke, but in human form.
So, regular Ben, how many truths did you get through?
The urban myth that anybody who cleans the bar will die in ye olde Jerusalem. Ed Balls was educated in Nottingham.
Oh,
yes, I said that.
Yes.
I'm not playing, but I just feel like a sense of achievement inside. Carry on.
And the two of the things which were... Do you want to have another guess now that I'll read you the list again.
Yeah.
Two of these things were invented in Nottingham.
Right.
Skiing, the electric toothbrush, traffic lights, snake charming, the French horn, friendship bracelets, passive-aggressive small talk, the VCR recorder, knots, archery.
The electric toothbrush?
Keep going.
Passive-aggressive small talk.
That was just perfected here, Ella. Not invented.
Put out my mystery, tell us.
Traffic lights and the VCR recorder. Other things that didn't make the list because there would be too many truths. MRI scanners were invented here.
Well, yeah, the institute. So,
yeah. Ibuprofen was entered here. Invented here. Ibuprofen, as some people call it. I call it ibuprofen because my mummy says I'm special. And tarmac is the other one, but I thought that was, you know, too boring to mention.
Hey, tarmac is pretty essential, you know.
Yeah,
it's worrying.
Sexy, but
and if you put it at the sexy road coverings,
if you put it at the beginning, it could pave the way for the rest of the speech.
Okay.
that brings us to the end of this section of the drama show. We'll have Improv Society in just a few minutes to round off, as they always do, with some hilarity, we'll say. Before that, though, we have The Romantics with What I Like About You. Thank you so much for joining me in the studio here today, guys. I forgot all
You're
words
You're welcome.
Then.
You are welcome. Just call us all Ben, it's fine.
You're all Ben.
We're all
just
Ben. Say things that are pertinent to the thing, Ella.
Yes, pertinent to the thing. Rounding up today, we have Ben.
Yes, hello.
Ben.
Hello.
Ben.
That's my name, actually.
And Ben. Ben finds that so funny that Ben can't talk. Right, on that note, as professional as ever, this is The Romantics, What I Like About You.
And now, live from Nottingham's Portland building, ladies and gentlemen, it's the impromptu comedy stylings of The Improv Show!
Yes, it's that time of the week again when it's time for The Improv Show. Yay! Right, one person, fantastic. I'm your host, Jack Ellis, and in front of me I have four of the finest improvisational minds to be bothered to turn up today. In, Liam Webber. Jenny Danaher.
Hello.
Ben Locke.
Good day.
And Jamie Drew.
Salute.
We're going to now play a game called If You Know What I Mean.
Oh my.
Yeah. This is a game for, let's say, two people. Who wants to play If You Know What I Mean? Liam, Ben, do you want to have a go at that? If
can
you know
do.
What I mean? Can we have just another task for them to be performing? Anyone.
Guarding the president.
You're guarding the satire is off the charts today. You're guarding the president, if you know what I mean.
So, do you have the president covered, if you know what I mean?
He is so covered, if you know what I mean.
Oh. Head to toe covered? Are all the little vulnerable weak spots, are they accounted for, if you know what I mean?
He is satisfied with my service, if you know what I mean.
I see what you mean, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, if you know what I mean.
When you're moving on, so the president, so how close are you to him when you're, you know, at a speech and he's, you know, doing his thing, you know, how close do you get to him, if you know what I mean?
I'm precisely as close as he wants me to be. If you know what I mean.
What's,
I what would take a bullet for him. If you know what I mean. And I've got a lot of ammunition. And I would shoot my load. If you know what I mean.
See. Right, that's all the time we have for today. I've been your host, Jack Ellis. We've been the Improv Society. We have sessions 6 to 8 up in the SU Hub. We have a show next Friday. There's a Facebook event and everything. Search for it. It's going to be fantastic. We've been the Improv Society, and this is Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon.
This
is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.